What is it like to be a student of color in a predominantly white classroom or school district? As we continue to look at how race plays out in American society, as we have these conversations here on Radio Boston, and as stories of racism experienced by students in white schools abound on social media, we wanted to ask that question. And we want to hear from you about your lived experience. If you've been a parent or a student of color in a predominantly white school or school district, what's been your experience? Or have you witnessed disparity in your school district? And what do you think districts can do to better support students and families of color? Are you in a district that does it particularly well? You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or you can tweet us at Radio Boston. Here with us to discuss her personal experience is Tashana Bailey, who is a Metco parent in the Arlington Public School System and a former employee of that school system. Tashana is actually a former Metco student herself. Welcome to Radio Boston, Tashana.
Hi, hello, good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you coming on, Tashana. I mean, it can be hard to talk about your personal experience, the experience of your kids, especially. We hold our kids so dear. So I appreciate you engaging with us for your story. How would you describe your kids' school environment? And do you think it's welcoming to them as students of color?
The school environment. I wouldn't necessarily say it's welcoming. I think the students there are times that they do feel welcome, but the majority of the time they do not. It's a system that I believe they've become comfortable with, and because lack of changes in the system, I think it's just something that everybody has just become comfortable with because there's not very much change.
What do you mean by have become comfortable with Tashana?
With the symptom? Okay. So, for example, I have so many different perspectives. Being a parent at the school, it's already hard on the Metco students who have to leave from Boston to go to Arlington to go to school. And sometimes, first thing in the morning, they're facing struggles because when they get there, it's super early. They haven't eaten yet, and they're either tired or they want to play. And sometimes when they get there, there's all this energy that they want to burn off because they've been sitting on the school bus for an hour or more, depending on where their bus stop is. So when they get off the school bus, they want to play and engage. And sometimes the school doesn't have any staff to watch them. So when the kids are just running around and playing, the residents will think that they're getting into trouble or, they're being too loud. And they have to understand where we're coming from. It's not exactly the same as the people that live there. There's a lot of times when we have students who are attending the school who have issues with their teachers because, I'm sorry to say, but we do have racist teachers in the Arlington Public Schools. And these are the people that parents are relying on to trust to educate their children. So when you're having all these stresses coming into the school, the environment isn't really inviting. It's not really inviting to us, if that makes sense.
It does. I do want to ask you. You just said we have racist teachers in the Arlington Public Schools, and I just
Absolutely.
Want to ask a clarifying question on that. Are you saying that that's the in general? Are you saying those are specific experiences? I just want to delve into
specific
that a little bit
experiences.
Further.
Now the thing is, I can't really go into much detail about it because these are real life children's stories. But what I can say, being an employee working there. There have been almost every month, or at least when I started the system, it was almost every 2 weeks there was an incident happening at the school with one of the teachers or the staff members. So there are clear issues going on. And I would say leadership is very aware of it, but nobody's really doing anything about it. These students will come home and they go ahead.
No, please go ahead, Tashana.
Yeah, so students will go home and complain to their mothers or their family, and they have a support system at the school, the Metco staff, but it's just not enough. And so our students are Arlington Public students also, even though they reside in Boston. And I feel like the leadership expects the Metco staff to solve all the problems when it's a community problem. So it's not fair for parents to have to figure out what we're supposed to do to make our community safe. When we reach out to leadership, okay?
Yeah, a couple of things. I do want to stop you for a second. I apologize for interrupting. Mm-hmm. First, there was a recent Boston Globe story about families of color discussing their experiences in Arlington, and we did reach out to the superintendent in Arlington. We're not able to hear or did not hear back in time for this conversation, this segment. But I want to, before we go on to Sean, I also want to point out that these kinds of stories aren't in a vacuum. We spoke with other parents in the greater Boston area about their experiences, and I want to engage a little sound from that. One of them is Carrie Rodriguez, whose children go to school in Medford. She's also mom in chief of the Massachusetts Parent Union. She was an advocate in 2016 to raise the cap on charter schools in Massachusetts. Carrie told us about a teacher, her son, that she felt unfairly graded her son at the end of the school year after remote learning.
She couldn't even deny in previous trimesters that this kid is bright, he's brilliant, he's engaged, he asks questions, but she was brutal in her grading of him. His lack of engagement in remote learning.
Carrie, said that she was unable to engage with the teacher after getting those grades. She also added that she's concerned that a lot of kids across the Commonwealth are having similar experiences, especially where district and school administrators and staff don't match the diversity of the students. So, and I also want to note that we reached out to the Medford Public Schools superintendent, who is a person of color, to comment on this, and didn't hear back from them in time for the segment either. Does that resonate with you? And how do we think about the importance of the diversity that kids see in their school and in their school district and the people that they interact with?
I agree with what she's saying. I think a lot of the curriculum is very rigorous, and I like it, but I just don't think it's diverse. And sometimes our students may struggle with parts of the curriculum, testing and things in that nature. And I don't think they're really looking at it. I feel like our students that come in have to work a little bit harder. We have to, get up earlier. Our days are longer, so it's more stressful on the students. And sometimes if they're struggling in certain areas, I just think the system is quick to just automatically put them on an IEP versus really taking the time to give them extra support. And it's a little bit harder because me growing up as a Metco student, I spent a lot of time in my community. I went to Concord. And it's different now because the world has just changed. People don't really trust each other. I'm noticing that the community, they need to do a better job with bridging the community.
So let's stop there for a second, Tashana, if you don't mind, because you raised the fact that you were a Metco student in Concord. And can you tell us a little bit about what your experience as a student was?
I started in first grade and I stayed all the way through 12th grade. And I'm not going to say that I didn't have any issues with racism and things of that nature, but it felt very different. I can't really tell you what they did differently because I was a child, but what I can say is that it was more family oriented. The community there really did want us there. They were involved. I remember having Concord students come to Boston and spend the night at my house. It was like a family. We still have strong relationships I still have strong relationships with my friends now. So it was more family oriented. The Metco community was stronger. We looked out for each other. If we had games, we would carpool. I don't really see much of that happening. So it's almost like we're just Boston students that are dropped off to go to school in Arlington. it's not like we are part of the Arlington community.
Listeners, if you have had similar experiences, or if you've seen disproportionate or disparate treatment is the better word, in your school or your school district, or if you have thoughts about what schools can do better, call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Tashana, we spoke earlier today with your boys, Caden and Jace, about their school experiences. I want to play a little bit of that. I want to play a bit of Caden talking about instances of racism that he's experienced. Here he is.
I think I was in the third grade, and I was sitting in line for lunch, and this kid, he told me, do you know why you like chocolate milk so much? Because I was just getting chocolate milk. And he was like, because it comes from a black cow like you. And then my friend behind me was like, that's messed up, that's racist. So we went up to the office, and we told the principal, and the principal, it sounded like she was going to do something about it. But she didn't do much about it. So my mom had to, it got really big. My mom had to end up filing a report. So I couldn't, I had to be 6 feet away from him. I couldn't be in the same classes with him or anything. The way the teachers handle it, this kid handles situations better than what they have. They handle it.
No one wants their kid to have an experience like that. How do you parent your way through that?
That was a rough time for us, and it was even more difficult for me because I had to sit there and witness it, and because I worked there, I wasn't really vested like everyone else. So in order for me to really speak up for my son, it was hard because I was afraid of, losing my job. I have two kids in the district, and I was afraid, but I had to do something. There were a series of incidents that happened after that. And it got to the point where I said enough was enough. We had to do something about it. It took several weeks before I got the schools to even put a safety plan in effect for my son, because it was something different each week. Maybe four instances where this particular child was bothering him. I reached out to the principal. I sent emails to the superintendent. I had the Metco staff, helping me. It was a difficult time. And at home, I've always prepared my kids that one day this will happen. So they knew it would happen. But I felt bad because the situation that I was in, I felt like I needed to do more, but I was stuck between a rock and a hard place. But with support from the Metco staff and outside counseling, thank you for Father's Uplift. They really helped my family get through this, because my son was questioning, why is this happening to me? This was also the time when we were going through the election and everything was very tense. He was questioning his race and if he wanted to even be a black person living. He didn't understand why these series of things were happening to him. So these are the kind of discussions we people of color have to have with our children at home. When they come home from school and you're asking, how was your day? These are the type of things that we're talking about. We don't have normal conversations all the time about, what they did, what they ate for lunch, what they played. We have real conversations, and it's frustrating because
Tashana,
it's not that way on the
here.
Other side. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd love to grab a call here, 1-800-423-8255. We've got Maggie on the line from Sudbury. Maggie, go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. I'm calling because I'm a person of color. My daughter was brought up in the Sudbury school system, and the problem I had was I moved there so she wouldn't have to commute as a medical student. They never could separate the fact that she was black but lived there. They kept trying to put her in programs based on the fact that she was a medical student. And that was how I knew that the system was separate, not equal.
And how did you
Absolutely.
Explain that to her? Well, Tashana, you, please, feel free to engage with Maggie on this.
I think that with my particular district, hi, how are you? I think with my district, it's separated three ways. You have the black and brown people or people of color that are from Boston. You have the Arlington residents, and then you have the black and brown people or people of color from Arlington. And this is how the system is failing, because the Boston students, they have a small support staff that they can go to. We have the social worker, we have the director, and then they have a, you know, a teaching assistant or support staff that they can go to when they're having issues or if there's a racial incident. Then you have the people of color that live in Arlington. They don't have anybody that looks like them that they can relate to because they're not a part of the program. So what I noticed before I left Arlington, a lot of the residents or the people of color, the students, would try to come to some of the METCO meetings that we had. Somehow we tried to let the Boston students bring their friends along so that they had a safe place that they could go to, because those students don't really have anyone to talk to, and I'm sure they're going through the same issues that the METCO students are going through. I
want to
really
thank Maggie.
Engage with them because, yeah.
I want to thank Maggie for her call, Tashana. Maggie, thank you for that call. And Tashana, that sense of isolation is heartbreaking to hear about. We only have a little bit of time left, and you've been generous with your reflections and with your own experience. Before we let you go, I want to ask you, how can your school community improve? As a parent, what would you like to see done differently?
I think they need to hire more people of color. They need to hire more people because that particular district is pretty diverse. So they need to have more black and brown people in the school system. And I also feel like we need to have more social workers there because the caseload is just way too high and it's not enough. I also think they need to listen to the students. They need to ask questions and actually listen to them and not just judge them. But before they can do any of those things, they need to start with leadership. Because leadership is very aware of what's going on and nobody's really doing anything about it. They just sweep things under the rug. They also need to focus on bridging the communities together and maybe think about what they did in the past, how it worked, you know, when I was in school, because it did work. And I also think that, yeah, I think...
Let's stop there, Tashana. Thank you. Yeah, that's a lot to take in, and I'm guessing that this is a conversation we're going to continue to have here on Radio Boston. Tashana Bailey is a METCO parent in Arlington and former employee of that school system. She's also a former METCO student herself. Tashana, I appreciate you joining us. Thanks for being on Radio Boston.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.